everyone, my name is Janil Dalal. I'm a UX designer. I currently work at AT&T. I work in downtown Dallas. And I love designing and I love information architecture and strategy.
Hello, my name is Art Sanchez and I'm a UX designer for Tonic 3. I've been with them for about a year now and I really enjoy solving problems. Everything has to do with design, so.
And I'm Cassini Nazir. I have known these guys for a little while now. I teach at UT Dallas, and I teach interaction design.
So definitely, like, since we're giving a panel talk tomorrow, Art, on UX Design Year 1, it's been a great journey so far. Difficult but rewarding, I can tell you that, Cassini. There's a lot of challenges, but the reward is great. The journey teaches you a lot, and one of the things, the biggest things I've learned is that, you know, in any job, before you go in, you don't know everything, right, Art? It's just that you want to walk in through the door, and once you go there, you know, Google these days, like, there's videos, there's books. You can always learn on the job. So one of the biggest fears is, like, am I prepared for the job, or do I know all the tools? But I don't think it's a question of the tools. Like, as long as you know the concept, like, you know, you can use any tool. So a lot of times, I remember I was in that phase where I used to get intimidated, like, oh, I don't know this tool, or I don't know this thing, am I ready yet? But once you go in, you kind of get a feel that everybody is kind of, you know, doing it on the spot, and right. You're not alone.
Yes, especially you brought up the fact of the concept. A lot of the time, it doesn't necessarily have to do with what you're creating as much as the process, and the process of how do you come up with, yeah, there's a problem that's brought to the table by a different team in the organization, and how do you solve that problem? And so now you come up with a bunch of people working together to solve that problem, whether it's visually or any other way to do it. And so that the fact that you brought up the concept, I think it's been one of the hidden things that you found out over the last year or so.
Yes.
For sure.
You guys are doing a panel talk tomorrow here at the Big Design Conference.
Yes.
And it's called UX Year One.
Yes.
And so I guess tell me a little bit about your backgrounds. Janiel, you're a recent grad, is that correct? And Art, you're a not-so-recent grad,
right.
If I'm correct.
So, Janiel? To walk you through my story, I have my undergrad in electrical engineering from India. And basically what happened was I finished my undergrad in 2012. And after that, I joined Vanderbilt University in Nashville to do some post-research stuff in computer vision. And after doing the summer research, I kind of, you know, decided that I wanted to pursue a job more. And after that, I got a job opportunity at Dallas, at Texas Instruments, where I was a Linux engineer. I was working on hardware and software. And right about like less than a year, I moved to Intel, where I did technical writing. And that's where I really got into design, because I was working with some of my colleagues in India. Always fascinating, because, you know, copywriting is a form of UX. And after that, that's when I finally landed my first job officially after attending Big Design Conference, coincidentally, since we're here. I got a job offer from Tonic 3, right, where Art's working. And after that, I moved to AT&T. So looking, like, at that point, I could not connect the dots. Like, you know, Steve Jobs said, you cannot connect the dots looking forward. But now that I see at it, like, my background in, you know, kind of engineering and stuff really helped me see things in like a programming way, kind of like structure, like, you know, information architecture, like, oh, this goes here. You question everything, why, when, you see everything as a problem and the way to solve it. That's what I learned in engineering. And I didn't know that I would be applying it a couple of years down in the field of UX. So I think this is a field where people come from many different backgrounds. So just because you don't have a visual background, I repeat, just because you don't have a visual background doesn't mean you cannot get into UX. What do you think?
Correct. My background is a little interesting one. I've been in the professional career for 10 years now. So I've gone from a customer service call center rep to sales to marketing to supply chain. So a couple years ago, I decided to make the jump into UX. And so basically one of the things was I wanted to find out the terminology. What terms people are talking about? What are they... Whenever they come up with a problem or a solution, how are they solving that problem? A lot of the times, they using a specific tool such as Photoshop or any other tool, any prototyping tool. But that was easy for me to learn. What I wanted to learn was the process. How are they doing it? And so then I started looking into talking to people at different meetups and say, okay, how do you, what is going on at your workplace right now? Tell me. And so how do you come up with a solution? What is the problem? Then I started going back to my career and say, okay, well, I kind of did the same thing. It was just a different term that they were using. So whenever I was in supply chain, we had to find an efficient way of moving product A to a product from place A to B, and at the cheapest, most efficient possible. And so that's a way of solving a problem. And so I had to equate some of those things and say, well, I already did some of that. I just have to incorporate it into a design terminology somewhere. And I was like, that's how I came up with it. But the learning the tools, learning HTML, CSS, Photoshop, Illustrator, that was the easy part for me. It was just a matter of how can I incorporate some of this process terminology that I had before into my current career.
So you've been doing design for a long time,
yes.
But just not didn't know necessarily what designers call it or industry calls it, but
correct.
Certainly you've been engaged in it.
Yes, and so a lot of the time people refer to design as just a visual experience, and it's not. Yeah, it's a big part of it, but I think more than anything for me, design is actually solving a problem. So if somebody comes in, the perfect example is somebody comes into like a building and they can't open the door. That's a design problem. And if you have a person that's on a wheelchair and they can't get through a specific hallway, well, that's a design problem. That should have been addressed before the building was created. So those are a couple of examples that not necessarily visually, but at the same time, they have to be fixed. So.
Yeah, what you're saying reminds me of something that the Danish Design Center put out not so long ago about how organizations think of design. There are some that don't embrace design at all. That's sort of the lowest rung of the ladder.
Right.
There are organizations that think of design only as style, right? So cosmetics, lipstick on the pig is often the phrase that's used.
Yep.
Then, to your point earlier, there are organizations that kind of think of design as process,
right?
So what are the processes, to exactly what you were saying earlier, what are the processes that I can use in order to make this better and keep this going? And then for, again, Danish Design Center's hierarchy here, the sort of highest rung of their ladder is strategy, right? Which is essentially, all of them solves problems, but strategy really does it in a more holistic view that takes into account as many inputs as possible.
Yeah, the whole concept of UX is collaboration.
Yes.
And so if you bring as many people together to solve a problem, that makes it easy. Because then you have people that are working by themselves, and yeah, they know coding, they know testing, they know researching, they know design, but at the same time, sooner or later, you're going to run into a wall. There's a reason why if you're working on a design, you step out and you go walk around the block. Why? Because you've hit that block and you're like, everything is starting to look the same no matter what I do. So for you stand up and you walk around and you come back to your desk, you're like, I knew I missed something, so you come back and fix it. So if you have a bunch of people working together, then everybody's looking at the same thing and you're like, okay, I think you're missing the point here, let's add something here, or let's add something there, and that's how you do it. And so collaboration, I think it's been huge and important.
Yeah. Janiel?
Yeah, I definitely agree on the collaboration part. It's like when you're working in UX, you're going to be working with a lot of people, and I know, Christine, you're giving a talk on dealing with difficult people, and this kind of relates to that. It's like, when you're working in a team like of more than 20 people to 50 people, and depending on the type of organization that you join, you're always going to have people who don't have the same opinion as you. But the trick here is to, you know, think about it, like, you know, not think about it too much seriously. Like, it just work. Like, you know, me and Art could be working on the same project. We can have different opinions. But at the end of the day, we're still friends, and it just works. So we don't get too much personal to the point where we, you know, hurt each other's feeling. But when you look at it like an objectively, like, hey, you know what? He's just trying to make a suggestion and not take it personally. Like, the biggest thing is when you're starting design, it's like you're getting a lot of feedback. You're going to get a lot of critiques on your design. Like, hey, this is not right. So the best thing is not to take it negatively. Or your design is not your self-esteem. It's not you. Mm-hmm. You and your design are different. And that's the biggest thing you need to understand, because as long as you think your design is exactly, like if Janiel's design is Janiel, that's not true. As long as Janiel thinks that, then every time somebody gives him positive feedback to improve, he's going to take it negatively. He's going to fight with them and he's going to feel offended. So a lot of times me and Art are working on a project, you know, in the past, Art would have some suggestions and then I would be like, wow, that's a great idea. Let's see how we can do it. It's not an insult or an attack on my design. So I think it's always good to take things positively and not get too hung up on, oh, why did he try to critique my design? Because at the end of the day, when you have so many people on your team, you're not going to think all the options.
Yeah.
Everything, you're not, no human mind can is trained to do all of that. You're going to miss something. That's why you have different people who can point out to you. And together, you can make a great team. You can make that award-winning product.
That's awesome. I love the positivity that you always have. So many of our UT Dallas students are attending the conference as volunteers, mm-hmm. and have expressed a lot of interest in this talk because they're looking to
mm-hmm.
absorb the knowledge that you both have gained mm-hmm. and the other two on the panel
mm-hmm.
have gained in that first year of UX. And what you're describing to me is essentially, how can I take ego out
yes.
of the equation so that it's not my design, but the user's design or
yes.
a design that's getting critiqued, not my bruised ego
yes.
in the situation as well. That's so difficult.
Yes.
And that's an interesting topic when it comes to feedback and ego. Me coming from a sales background where you're used to no or not right now or maybe later. So that concept of getting rejected was quickly out the door for me. So whenever you start getting into critiques, at least for me, is more of if somebody brings up something, okay, that's a better way. I need to come up with a better solution. So it's not a critique on me personally. It's a matter of that's not working. Let's find another way to do it. And so that's tough. Sometimes it is very tough because you get mm-hmm. sort of married to a specific project and you just want it. I mean, you spend 90% of your week just working on it, and all of a sudden somebody come in and say, no, it's the wrong way. So it is tough. I've been there. But at the same time, it's been gratifying for me to figure out, come up and say, okay, I'm getting a critique from a person that's been in the industry for a long time, which I've never had before, and it's giving me a constructive criticism when it comes to, okay, this button should be here because of this, blah, blah, blah. And so I take it and I run with it. So that, for me, that concept of feedback and ego has been very, very helpful coming from a sales background.
You know, it's interesting you're saying that because I've been telling students recently that who have said, I'm applying to this job, I want to get in, but, you know, they tell me that you don't have any experience in a large organization or you don't have this experience, and it's a difficult thing. And,
yes.
You know, the discussion that we have is there a difference between having the student having 1 year experience and the person with, quote unquote, 20 years experience? Is it really that, or is it maybe 1 year experience multiplied 20 times? You know, what I'm hearing from you, Art, is sort of this sense of sharpening the saw,
right?
You know,
mm-hmm.
and keeping it going.
Nothing more than anything is if you, and I heard somebody say something to me like, there are certain things that if you're visually talking to somebody and you're describing, like, okay, this is how we want the website to look, and you build it in whatever program you're talking about, and say, okay, that person that has been in the industry for 20 years can be like, that button is off 10 pixels.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I centered it right according to the size of the image, and it looks perfect. But yet, the creative director comes in and says, you're missing 10 pixels. And that is the difference between perfection and not. So I don't see that yet. I'm not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where the difference comes in as far as 20 years and 1 year. But I want to get there. Sooner or later, I think I will get there if I stick to this. But at the same time, you just have to keep at it. And I said, don't take it personal. And it's one of those things where you're like, you know, you're right. 10 pixels makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
And one of the things I want to add to that is, like, you know, a lot of times you'll hear, like, job descriptions that are, like, required 3 years and 5 years of experience. And every job that I've always applied to was always requiring more experience. But I think the art here is, in a way, networking, trying to get to know the person and trying to convince them that, hey, you know what? It's actually good that you don't have that experience. Because you know what? What you have to offer is that dedication. Like, you will run. You will do whatever you can, but you will make it happen. And the funny thing is, like, right when I was interviewing for my AT&T job, when we were just walking through the hallway, we stopped for a moment and we met our executive director, and, you know, I just told her the four words, like, I want the job. And that look, which I said, is like, I know I don't know a lot of things that you know at your level, but here's the deal. I'm going to work for it. That's what I can offer you. So a lot of times you might think that, hey, this guy has 20 years of experience, but often with that experience, there's like a balance. Like, you know, you are willing to hustle more. You're willing to like work hard, work twice harder than them, because see, they know a lot of stuff, so they might not work as hard as you. Not necessarily, but I think it's a good thing to not always know everything. And the biggest thing I tell everybody is, like, you know, my mentor Brian Sullivan tells, like, ABC, always be communicating, network a lot, attend all these meetups. Because let's say I meet Cassini, Cassini's trying to hire for a new position, and if I'm meeting him every day at the meetup group or at networking events, and let's say I may not have that exact experience he's looking for, but because I have talked to him a lot of times, based on psychology, he might feel that he can take the risk with me compared to an unknown person online who's claimed to have that experience, because he knows that I can kind of mold into that role. So that's the leverage that you have. Talk to these people, find out what they're looking for, and convince them. The biggest thing that any manager is doing, my current boss is from the military, and you know, some of the biggest things I tell him is like, here's my bottom selling line. I get the job done by asking minimum number of questions. That's it. And that's what any manager is looking for. If they have to coach you through everything, then they might do it themselves. Mm-hmm. So I think being a new person at it, it's fine. But there's so many tools that you have. Don't let this stop you. Apply. Send that person an email. Look at their LinkedIn profile. Send them an email. But, you know, action speaks louder than words. Like, take something from their portfolio and say, like, hey, this is what I think about it. Or if you know that the hiring manager is working in the e-commerce domain, why don't you create a mock-up and send it to them? Be more creative. You have that opportunity. Only you are the one stopping yourself from not applying to the opportunity. At the end of the day, when I go to sleep, Art, I want to be like, you know what? I give it my everything. I gave it 200%. I applied to it. Even if I don't get selected, you know what? I'm going to sleep peacefully. Because you know what? I applied for it. And then I'll let whoever is the hiring person decide for it.
This is the take initiative, right?
And yes.
Don't take no necessarily for the answer approach. No. You know, so in the last few minutes here, I want to introduce what Adam Polansky did mm-hmm. last year at Big Design with his keynote talk, which is really where this idea for this panel group came from. Adam Polansky last year in his keynote talk was read aloud Senate Bowles' letter to a young designer. And so he, Senate Bowles, in his old age, as it were, is writing to himself as a young designer and sort of saying, here's what I think I should have done, etc. We'll link to that in the show notes in the podcast. So this is year one for you guys. If let's do the opposite of what Bowles did and say 20 years from now, you know, what will you 20 years from now be looking back on?
I think one of the biggest things, you know, when you're just new to any domain is that patience. If I had to look 20 years down the line, I think I would just told myself to go easy on myself, just enjoy life. And, you know, sometimes you are hard on yourself a lot because you feel you not hit that goal or you have not lived up to the expectations. But I think I would just tell myself, like, hey, Janiel, you know what? You're going to be there. Just take it easy. Be easy on yourself. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay to fail. But I know you're going to get up stronger and move forward. So don't be discouraged.
I think for me probably is more than anything, have fun. Enjoy the ride, as people say. And a lot of the times, if people go to jobs and they're not happy, and they might be like, oh, I hate my job, or I wish I would work somewhere else, the grass is not always greener on the other side. But at the same time, if you really want to make a move, go for it. You're young, and you have the chance to make it up, so to speak. And it's not like you're moving across the world. I mean, you'll probably stay in the same city. Just go to another place, and if you don't like it, then there's nothing wrong with trying a different place until you like it. Life is very short, and time flies very, very fast. This year has been very, very fast. I mean, I still remember when I was here a year ago, walking around the hallway and meeting all these people, and I was like, whoa, this is the guy that Brian was telling me about, and this is the speaker that I've been following on Twitter, and he's standing right next to me. And, I mean, that was a year ago, and I mean, time flies, so for sure, enjoy the ride, and if you're not happy, then find something else. It's very easy, and if you don't like it, then you can always go back, right? So, I mean, and don't burn any bridges, for sure. Don't burn any bridges. Okay. Hello again, and this has been a really good experience. My name is Art Sanchez, and you can find me on Twitter at @ArtSanchezUX, or you can connect on LinkedIn as well, Art Sanchez, and hopefully I'll hear from you, some of you guys. So.
Hey, I'm Janiel once again, and I'm kind of old school, so just shoot me an email at janiel.dall@gmail.com, and I'll be sure to reply quickly.
Excellent. Thank you, guys.